Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our picks, keeping track of our time, trying to make sure we don't stay down here all night. He is the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity. We know him as Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table. Yeah, I don't know what that was. He saw the Bob Knight thing over there and just decided to chuck a chair.
He's pretty amped up tonight.
That's a little chair.
Over my right shoulder at the high top table, welcomed back after a week off on assignment. Glad to have you back. He is the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is a man who's trying to find any pathway he can to Spanish citizenship so he can become the oldest player to ever score for the Spanish national soccer team, the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
All right, the La Roja will take me right now.
Well, you're wearing your jersey.
Hey, I'm going for the golden boot, too, if I'm going to score. I'm going for it all.
Why do you say that like a German?
I didn't say it like a German.
The golden
German boot.
Hey, Germany, you're yesterday's news.
I think you got to run the running of the bulls to even be considered for citizenship.
Yes. So John L.'s going before me.
Yes. John L.'s deserves citizenship anywhere he wants to live.
that's a great idea. If you're in the United States, you got to pass that citizenship test. They give you the written test, the oral test. In Spain, they just say, if you're man enough to run with the bulls, have at it.
Or even better, you have to get the ham off the pole at La Tomatilla.
I love it. Guys, it's great to have everybody back tonight. We missed you last week, Tuna.
I listened to the show, and it was probably one of the best weeks for me to not be here due to, like, the soccer talk. Like, Freddie killed it rolling through there without my smart-ass comments, not knowing anything about soccer, chiming in.
As you're wearing your Peru soccer jersey.
I was going to mention that.
From 1981.
Yeah, they got jobbed the other day.
We mentioned that Fred is wearing his Spanish garb tonight. It should be noted, I'm glad you brought it up, Fred, that Tuna is wearing the shirt of his adopted national team, his beloved Peruvian 11, which is a great look.
Much better cattle in Peru than in Spain, and that's how you judge a country: the grade of their cattle.
On your bio,
did you guys not know that?
No, I did not.
On your bio,
I'm saying Argentina won the World Cup last year.
Does it
excellent
say,
beef?
Does it say I like Tuna Helper, Thousand Island, and Peruvian soccer?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm waiting for that one tender match to get them all.
Ladies, if you're out there, I mean, the die has been cast. You can reach out to us. That's a great segue, Tuna. You can reach out to us on social media. On Twitter, at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search engine. And if any ladies out there hit all three of those things, let us know, and we'll have you come down. You can have your first date live on the air down here in the Bill's famous cheese spread.
That would not be
studios.
Awkward at all. Listening to Freddie breathe into the microphone while I'm making small talk.
I mean, please do.
I think that would be absolutely fantastic. So with all that being said, Fred, we're going to start the show tonight with your Spanish side advancing to the finals of the Euros, and they will take on the winner of tomorrow's England-Netherlands match, which I'm very much looking forward to. But Fred, I'd just like to get your thoughts on their last two games, how they got here, and how confident are you going forward?
Well, I am confident. I like I said, tears for the Germans. That is the team I love to hate. They're still whining about a possible handball that never happened. But bottom line is,
which I thought was hilarious, by the way, the television announcer today said that, and for those of you that follow soccer, you will know this reference. The hand of God was the famous, Maradona goal in 1986. And
it was insane.
They were calling what happened.
Cucurella.
They were calling it. The rough translation was the hand of the scruffy one, which if you know who the Spanish player was, you will get that reference. But I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, Maradona, if you haven't seen it, he's dribbling, juking people all the way down the field. And the ball goes up in the air and he goes up for a bouncer and hits it with his hand on the side of his ear and moves the ball forward as he continues on. This was far from that. It was a guy, Cucurella, with his hands behind his back. One hand, he's in the air twisting, and the ball did hit one of his hands, but it wasn't necessarily pulled out in the air. It just, you know, and the refs know how to work that. Anyways,
Fred,
it doesn't.
Did they call that handball on Maradona?
No.
Well, then it didn't happen.
That's right. and that really took Maradona to humongous heights, but he dominated that whole World Cup. Anyways, Spain gets through in a great match. However, what the Germans didn't talk about is Toni Kroos, the little dirty son of a gun, who I'm glad is probably finished now for his country. Backhands. Our player, Tuna's favorite player, Pedri, takes him out in the first, messes his knee up, takes him out in the first 2 minutes of the game. No card, and probably if he got another card down the line and had a couple dirty plays. Not that there's not any around throughout these tournaments, but he would have eventually gotten a red card and been kicked out. So it couldn't happen to anyone better than the Germans, and Spain does get through that game. I knew it would be a fantastic game. But Dani Olmo, if you don't know him, he's up for the Golden Boot. He has been our super sub. He started today and hit the game winner. He has a couple of assists as well. And the coach of the Spanish team is doing everything right, unlike in the past. Usually there's substituting issues. We did start Olmo. I was worried about that, but he ends up getting a goal. And it just seems like everything's going their way. It does help when a 16-year-old scores today to be the youngest in the history of the Euro Cup. Lamine Kamal. Who is, look out, he's the next great. So I just thought that the Germany game was a typical Spain-Germany match we've played many times. And to get through with France today, I don't know if any of y'all were able to see it, but France just can't score. They just, the only one that's been able to put a goal in for them is Kola Muani, who didn't even start the first few games after Mbappe got hurt. and broke his nose. And apparently that broken nose has really affected him. He's been off, didn't play a game. And then he wore a mask the next one. They just went flat. France just went flat. They've got so many great players. Dembele on the other side is one of the best in the world, and he rarely even shoots. But they put Giroud in, who is a goal scorer of, you know, the last century, and he couldn't get it in either. So Spain wins. We move on. I'm a little surprised, but the coach, I give it to the coach of the Spanish team. He seems to be doing everything right. So
except for playing aggressively when they're up, right?
Well,
okay.
The main thing, and that's what I was going to end with, is one thing that frustrates me about Spain, and it could happen in the next game, is that when Spain is dominating on the ball and doing their little tiki-taka stuff, if we score a goal or get up, for whatever reason, we get in defensive mode. And you can't do that in college football. I mean, you can't do that in anything. Pro football, you can't get in a defensive mode. You've got to, and we could talk about this for days, you've got to still, if they counter, they counter. But you've got to try to score a goal and go up 3-1. Then you don't have to worry about it. But the mere fact that they sat back there and got lucky four or five times, and so, you know, they subbed out a lot of their offensive players and just said, we're going to play great defense. And quite frankly, you get lucky then. And I felt like by the end of the game, I couldn't believe it. I told everyone we were probably going to lose, because I've seen it so many times when Spain has a one-goal lead. They sit back, somebody scores, then it goes into OT or penalties, and then we lose. And it's like, you know, that mentality's got to change as they move into this next game, because the other two teams, the Dutch and England, has, yes, had trouble scoring, but
I was just about to say,
the Dutch does not have trouble scoring.
If they're playing England, they ought to start the game playing defense.
No,
like
I'm
that
with
and just
England,
hope to
England
score
has
one.
Had, it was just like France, they've had a lot of troubles scoring. But wow, the game today, I mean, three goals in one half. It was amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And how many of those goals did we get to see live?
We did
here,
not
Fred?
Get to see, I didn't get to see any of them. We had bad weather here, and the meteorologist cut in right when the France goal was half across the line in the air. And then the next goal, they put it on a little small screen, and I just saw the goal go up 1-1. Then and I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, see, I didn't even see that. By the time I saw the little screen, I saw it was 2-1. And I said, how in the world did I miss three goals?
It was insane.
I mean, it literally, and for those of you that live here in town that are watching the game, you'll understand this. France comes down. It's the ninth minute of the game. There's a cross. The header goes up in the air. And like Fred said, it was going towards the goal. And it looked like it was going to go in. But before it could go in, the little, whatever, the little sound bug goes, dun, 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 dun. And they immediately cut in. And I was like,
we're seeing funnel clouds down here in Valley Village.
And I was like, was that a goal or not?
Yeah, don't they?
It was crazy. I'm glad, though, that everybody appears to be safe. We might get some more weather tonight, but we'll see about that. But
were any of you all able to see the game at all today? Probably not. Y'all had, I mean, it's a weird time.
I was working, but if I knew that you guys were having trouble, I would have told y'all. You could have got on my Fubo account.
I did, and it didn't work.
Really?
It didn't work.
Do you have local? My local channel is probably boring for everybody else, but
I do.
Okay, see, because when I put it on my TV, I get Cincinnati's local channels.
Oh.
For whatever reason, which is weird.
Because that was the first thing I thought about was, yeah, I'm going to go to Fubo. Not that I get it illegally or anything, yeah, of course. But I thought that I would go to Fubo and I'd be able to beat the system that way. And
you
as soon as
you come
it,
meet up with me and then look at my Fubo is what you're,
yes,
trying to,
yes,
do. Yeah.
But
that sounds wrong. Look at my Fubo.
Yeah,
I called him a pervert.
Hey, keep your Fubo to yourself, Dabo, would you?
Well, but
we got Fubos all over the place.
Unfortunately, when I saw what Fubo was putting on their Fox affiliate, it was the same thing that I was getting on YouTube television, so I was not able to use that. But I did think about it, and I tried.
But we got, you know, I mean, we're watching the second game or the next semifinal of the Copa, Argentina, Canada. I can't say that I'm that stoked up for that, but...
I am. I mean, I know how much Tuna loves the nation of Canada. He's got fans all over the country.
Yeah.
And...
they have a hard time kicking that ball with those ice skates on.
He
That's
loves,
all I know.
He loves Niagara Falls.
But they found a way to defeat the handball by carrying hockey sticks while they're running and kicking. So they never have to worry about touching it.
I'm honestly surprised you weren't wearing a Maple Leaf shirt tonight.
Yeah.
And I must say.
The County Mounties.
Kudos to Canada for finally learning how to put the ball in the net and coming in with a game plan versus Venezuela, because I lost a lot of money on Venezuela. That was my lock of the tournament. I thought they were going to dominate Canada. Canada looked worse than the United States did in this tournament. And kudos to their coach. They got an early goal, and they had a good strategy. And Venezuela fought hard to come back. Matter of fact, in the PKs had a chance to win it. As I sat there biting my nails, and they could not make the penalty kick, and of course, Canada did. And it absolutely crushed me. But Canada somehow got through, the only CONCACAF team that has done anything. And Panama, of course, got shellacked by Colombia.
Yeah, that wasn't surprising.
That wasn't surprising.
Win the whole thing.
And yeah, well, tell me what you think about Colombia, Tuna.
I like their uniforms and that guy with the big hair.
The guy with the big hair is no longer there.
Well,
talking about Valderrama.
I guess.
I'm sure
there's another guy.
But all
with
the
big
fans
hair there.
Wear big hair. They still wear
and
the
I love
wigs.
Them all. That's what,
yeah,
I'm saying. Everyone with big hair.
Okay. So. Well, Uruguay has James Rodriguez.
Great cattle as well.
He is the stud. And bottom line is Brazil could not do what France could not do. Put the ball in the net. Brazil can look as beautiful as they want, but the fact of the matter is Uruguay bum-rushed them a little bit, played great D, and beat them on PKs. You know, Argentina's not looked that great. Against Ecuador, they didn't. But we knew Colombia, they dusted Panama. That really helped. But I do think Colombia, they're on a 26-game winning streak, 27 maybe.
Well, they tied with Brazil, didn't they?
Yeah, but they're talking about a moving...
they're playing Uruguay, and they're actually an underdog.
They haven't lost
tomorrow.
Yet.
Betting favorite odds lean toward Uruguay.
I think
not by much.
I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
It's going to be a great game.
And, you know, like we talk about styles make fights, and I think it kind of sets up as a fantastic game, and I can't wait to watch it. I'm excited for the Canada-Argentina game just because Canada is, you know, I haven't looked. I assume betting-wise they were a prohibitive underdog.
I think just in the win, Argentina was minus 330.
Okay.
I had minus 600 a minute ago.
Oh,
Yeah.
It was minus. Well, was that just to advance? Because to advance, you get worse. Okay, to win where it's not a draw was minus 330.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I've been looking at some of these numbers and scores recently with soccer. And I think I'm kind of a dummy, and we're all dummies for not doing this from the start. If you go to every match where you look like it looks like it might even be somewhat close, bet the draw. There's been 16 draws that have happened in the Euro Cup, and but
that's full time. That's not because it can't be a draw technically.
That's what I'm saying. These games are ending in draws that are going to extra time or penalty kicks.
Right,
and those draws are usually somewhere between plus 220 and plus 280.
I actually mentioned that in last week's episode. That's what I did during the last World Cup.
Yeah,
and I cleaned them out. Cleaned them out. I just bet draw in every game.
Now, I mean, there's some matchups where you're obviously not going to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're going to be like, all right, I'm just not going to touch
But when
this
the
game.
Two teams are relatively even,
bet the draw.
I bet the draw in almost every one of them, and I won a bunch of money. And I think that, like you said, that's the smartest thing to do. It's an easy bet to make. And
I didn't
you
count the Copa matches, but the Euro Cup was 16 draws.
Wow, so crazy.
And one team we haven't talked about as we get into this is the Dutch. They are playing.
Why do you say that with such anger?
They're playing the Dutch. They remind me of Tennessee, kind
of. Everybody thinks that. When I think of Rocky Top, I
you
think
remember
of
the bet from
Amsterdam.
Last week.
Yes.
If the Dutch win,
if they win this and beat Spain. Matter of fact, Freddie has had Spain playing the Dutch.
They're
expecting in his picks.
80,000 Dutch fans there tomorrow is what the estimate was. And they plan on drinking 1.2 million beers.
Well, what about Jello shots?
I don't know if they do that over there, but I wish they did, because I would love to see the English numbers on Jello
The Dutch
shots.
Is one of those teams, man, that you just – they have a history. They are, if you talk about the big guns of Spain, Argentina, like right now, Colombia, and even if you throw Brazil and France in there of past tournaments, the Dutch are right there. They know how to put the ball in the goal, and the Dutch plays like Uruguay. They kind of have... they don't pass too much, but they have long passes and they score long goals, crosses. I don't know. It's hard to explain. They're not tiki-taka kind of like Brazil, like Spain. They kind of long ball you to death and do some of these long runs. But the Netherlands can never be counted out. I have the Dutch beating England, a struggling England team.
Well, and we talked about it last week and really the last couple of weeks. If there's a team that has more kind of internal pressure on them than England, I don't know who it is, because every year it's like, it's coming home. Is it coming home? We've got all this tradition, all this. And then inevitably it never happens. And
If you go down the list, France is a past winner of late of tournament. The Dutch, they never have pressure on them. They do, but it never seems to be that much, because they feel like they're not up to par with the other guys. They're kind of like 5-6 ranked all the time. Argentina has no pressure. They just won the World Cup.
When's the last time England's won anything as a country?
Who?
England. Just as a country.
Dude,
any sport, whatever.
It's been a long time. Been a long time.
Their losing streak started in 1776.
Yeah, damn right, Travis.
That was a joke to all of our English listeners.
Yeah, well, they know.
That was strictly,
you just started it back up.
Well,
that was strictly a joke.
I think the Euro Cup, it's like since 19. I mean, it's a long time since they've won.
I mean, they haven't
tournament.
Won rugby in forever. They haven't won cricket in forever. I don't know what other sports they play. I don't or do.
And Colombia has a lot of pressure, life and death pressure. some at times.
Well, Pablo Escobar's
right,
not there anymore.
But he's
so
not
I don't
there
think
anymore.
Yeah.
Anymore. So, and Spain, you know, they've won things in the past too. So really, the pressure is on England. And I would say that Argentina doesn't have any pressure. Uruguay's won the freaking Copa America like 15, 16 times. They don't have any pressure. So, you know, I see Spain and the Dutch coming through, like I said last week. And then I see...
I think with these guys, with something we think about, like, it's the individual pressure. Because a lot of these guys are playing for exposure on a world stage. They're not making a lot of money in some of these places. Like, if you play for Uruguay and you're down the list, like, you know, you're just looking for a moment. You want to keep playing so you can have opportunity to get that moment. Because you could end up getting a big contract
somewhere.
Oh,
let me tell you something. You know what's amazing about soccer? It is almost like a head coach in the NCAA basketball tournament. You know how a coach will go upset one team? You don't know if they've done great. They did make the tournament, so they had to have a good season. But then the next thing you know, he's coaching a huge D1 school, and you're like, he's not even that proven yet. Dude,
you
players,
can win 30 games in a row, 5 years in a row, but if you don't win an NCAA tournament game, you're not getting a big job.
Right.
You have one decent season and then make a run
if
in
you
the
make
Final
a
Four,
run in
or
the, a run just,
or just in the
just
Sweet
in
16
the,
or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, to the Sweet 16.
Upset a big school.
And these a lot of people don't know the players enough in these soccer tournaments, at least in America. But there are so many guys that if they just have a couple plays of beauty, they will get picked up by Liverpool or whatever. I mean, it's amazing. Some of those Georgia, Albania players, they're all going to sign good contracts. And that's what makes the teams better the next time around. I mean, look at the U.S. They didn't have anybody that really played over in the premiership or anything. Now they have more players. But there's no place that has more pressure on them right now, I would say, than them in England. I mean, both of them have immense pressure at this point. Not of their ancestors and things, but it's gotten to the point with the U.S. where they are really, really mounting pressure on them because of the way they've failed and the way that the women have done fantastic. And I know
you think the pressure's just growing because the game of soccer is growing so much around here. So it's like,
well, dude, no,
there's just like nothing to be.
Yeah. Soccer's growing everywhere. And
but
everybody
I also
in
think,
the USP and in the USA wants winners. That's what we're about. We win no matter what it is. And everyone's tired of hearing about this bullshit 10-year thing where, all right, I'm going to get into this damn tournament. Everyone's pumping up USA. I see everyone in Kansas City getting wild. Here we go. No, never mind. And now it's gotten to the point where it's ridiculous. It's like we've got to do something. And, dude, we just want teams to win. We're like an SEC school that's not named Bama and Georgia. We want to just get to a bowl game.
Didn't we make the knockout round in the World Cup?
Yes, yeah. We've done that.
And we
yes.
lost to England, is that right?
Yes.
Or who did we lose to in that?
In the past one?
Yeah. This
the Dutch.
Oh.
The Netherlands.
Yeah.
Beat us.
Tennessee.
And they didn't beat us. They slaughtered us. They didn't. You don't have to win 5-0 for it to be a slaughter. They world-classed the hell out of us and whooped us. I don't know. I think it was 3-0. It may have been 2-0, but I know we didn't score and didn't do anything. And they,
I think, 3 World Cups ago, we actually made the quarters.
We did right with Dimps, 16, with
we
Donovan
eight,
and yes. them. Yeah,
we lost to Uruguay.
Yes,
and I want to say something.
Luis
about
Suarez.
That. You remember that time there was that whole Bradley error, the head coach,
of course,
and his son.
They wanted to slaughter him.
Yeah.
But guess what? He's got the best record that
we've looking
had.
Back, yeah. And Jurgen Klinsmann really didn't have a bad record for a while. But I don't know. We can talk about Tour blue in the face, but they better change something.
Well, that decision is supposed to be coming down later on this week relative to Greg Berhalter's future with the United States men's national team.
Tuna, you made the final cut. You're in the running.
Tuna, I got you as you coaching and Savinho from Albania. Those are my two candidates.
Tell him to go out there and kick the ball and put it in the net. I don't see what's so hard about it. But just overthinking it.
Yeah.
But quit passing and
quit passing too much.
Yeah.
And quit flopping.
I got a question while this game's on. Argentina, Canada's playing right now. When you all get a chance, look at Argentina's keeper. Explain what the big, huge Band-Aid is on the side of his head, because I don't know what that is.
And if, blood flow, bro.
Oh, I'm sure he got hurt.
No, it looks like a big Band-Aid.
Is it
though.
Kinetic tape, or what's that called? What's that, K-tape, or whatever that stuff is?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Nah, he's got a...
Oh,
okay.
That means he's got a headache.
But you know,
the brain is a muscle.
I think these
the brain is a muscle, Mr. Electricity.
I think these tournaments. Hey, I think these tournaments have been great. I'm looking forward to Argentina and either Colombia and Uruguay, either or. And I think Spain versus England or the Dutch would be great. I think there you go. That's
Argentina scores.
Obviously, I didn't put a bet on this game, and I'm not happy about it.
Whoa.
You know, it's going to be a good tournament, and once this is over, we're sliding right into the Olympics.
I just wrote on my little show notes here, make sure to talk about the Olympics, because that is going to be starting in, 2.5 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think it opens the same weekend as the British Open, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'm pretty sure he's right.
And I can't wait. I mean, I know Fred and I are Olympic psychos. We haven't been doing this show in an Olympic cycle.
Oh, he nutmegged the goalie.
But
he nutmegged the goalie.
The basketball team... I'm excited to watch them. I'm
My
excited
biggest
to
gripe
watch.
With the basketball team is like, if you don't put Bronny James on there, it doesn't mean anything to me. Like,
well, of course not.
I feel like we needed that moment. And
how
that
could
story
they?
Can I end with soccer
and son
saying
to win a gold
thing.
Medal together?
Yes,
hence why Matt is a Peruvian soccer fan.
Yeah, I put Bronny on Peruvian's team.
Fred has one more thing to say about.
I want to say one thing. I have Spain playing the Dutch and Spain winning. I also have Argentina playing Colombia, and I have Argentina breaking their winning streak. I would love to see Argentina and Spain play each other. Why can't we have that? The winner of both tournaments. Would that be interesting?
Do other regions do these tournaments? Like, is there like a Pacific... Like with like Japan and China and Australia and all that, like Thailand, they don't do that.
Not really, no.
Huh.
No, that is why the World Cup is what it is. That's the only chance they get to get in there. I'm sure they do some little small things, but nothing on the stage of a Copa America that's been going on for years, centuries, and a Euro Cup that's been going on for centuries. I do wish that I saw Patrick Mahomes has been in Europe. He's a huge soccer fan.
I love that you
now,
follow Patrick Mahomes.
Now that he's been in Europe, he's like, man, I am sold, da-da-da. Well, guess what? When you go to Europe and you watch games like this, the way everybody is there that gets soccer, like top-notch, world-class soccer, of course you're going to love it. But I don't think we're ever going to get anyone from the U.S.
He went to an F1
all these
race
casual
and
fans,
an F1 team.
All these casual fans that the U.S. is trying to get to follow soccer that are like middle-aged people, they're just not going to get on board, dude. There's too much flopping, not enough shooting, not enough goal scoring. As Tuna even told me outside that the ties are annoying, even though that's in the group stage.
That's my most frustrating
thing. There's a lot of things that I do think, and I know soccer's been going on for centuries, but so have other things. I do think that they could maybe try, not the U.S., but the on the world stage, try to make some changes on the flopping. And they're never going to change the style of play for these teams. They've been doing it for 100 years. But I would like to try to, if there's one thing I could say to put a button on this as far as, I just hear so many people, I try to tell people, oh, soccer, man, you're into it, these tournaments. And I talk to them about it, and they're huge NFL fans and huge, they're not, it's kind of like the NBA. They don't like the NBA either. But soccer, to be a fan, and you want to be a fan because there is excitement around it, and it's when it's the only thing on, you're trying to get into it. But the flopping and the fake flopping is just a humongous turnoff, and I get it. And it's been going on for years, since the 90s when I really got hardcore into it. Even the late 80s is when my dad and I really started watching these tournaments, and it was hard to find the tournaments. They were... You had to dig around to find them. Now they're on Fox and all these channels, and it's frustrating for me because I don't know if anyone's ever going to try to change it, but if they could, the main thing they need to try to fix is the fake flopping and the flopping, and there are ways that they can figure that out. Forget red and yellow cards. There's other ways that they could add something in the mix to make that not happen as much or at all. I don't know. People are going to slide tackle each other and fall. It is a physical sport, but there's got to be something that you can do.
I'll say this. It's better than cricket. You ever watch cricket?
I haven't.
Yeah. All right. Cricket, they'll last like 2 days. A week. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen
now they just actually just had the T20 tournament, which is abbreviated cricket. So they did. They realized that their game sucked and it was way too long and boring. So they made an abbreviated version. So they're making adjustments to make it better. But no, this is not. But like, I'll watch any sport that you give me, just because I like watching competition over just some dumbass television show if I've got it on a TV on. But when I was in Afghanistan, I had nothing at all to watch. And I was actually at a camp with a satellite TV, and the only sport that I could get was cricket. I guess there was like a World Cup of cricket going on. I gave it about 3 days to try to learn the sport. And then once I learned the sport, I hated it even more. It's awful.
You couldn't even pick your team. You couldn't even pick a favorite team.
Well, it was
you?
Like India and Pakistan, and it was like day three of a match.
Oh,
and
my God.
And those
okay.
are like two
yeah.
of the best teams in the world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
yeah. So longest cricket game ever. It lasted 10 days. Of course, there's pauses in there, right?
Go.
They get to
yeah.
sleep.
10
it
days.
Was
10
43
yeah,
hours and 16 minutes long.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
Lord.
It's the most insane thing.
Well, I wish we could get soccer.
So at least soccer has a leg up on that. Is
right. We do. But nothing's going to stop me from watching these tournament finals. And I know that you all will all watch them. And, can you say anything on that,
well,
guys? Any y'all got anything to add to that before we get on to something else?
I agree with you, Fred, in the large, like looking at it from a big picture scenario, but I don't feel like that these two tournaments have been horribly marred by flopping the way that I have in past World Cups.
Right.
Like, I thought the last World, it was either the last World Cup or the one before that.
When Neymar was,
I thought,
yeah,
I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah.
I thought those early group stages of the Euro Cup, there was a lot of flopping, but it got cleaned up after that.
I think so. And
the Copa, there wasn't that much in there at all, I didn't think.
Yeah, and
that's like I said a couple podcast ago, I said it was like watching two different sports,
right?
Between the Copa and the Euro,
right. And you know, like Fred was talking about before, it's a style of play that some of these teams have been playing for 80 years. It's ingrained in them. It's kind of like
they're trying to get an edge.
It's kind of like if you're a a white shooting forward for Duke, you're always gonna flop every time you get touched, and you might end up kicking a guy or tripping a guy.
The NBA got rid of flopping. They got rid of flopping.
Well, and they tried to, yes.
And what happens is it comes to the players are getting an edge. They're trying to get an edge. They're trying to get a card for the other player. So if he gets another one, he's not in the next tournament game. They're trying to get a free kick. They're trying to get, there's three or four scenarios they're trying to get as they're doing it. And that's the frustrating thing. It turns into a pissing contest after a while. Well, you just did it. I'm getting ready to do it. And, do you ever see Messi flop? Never.
He's on the ground right now.
No, he's not. Dude, seriously, the great – hey, most of the great tuna that you're not right. That did not happen. Dude, most of the great players do not flop.
Yeah, but
they
that
just don't.
That would have been really funny if it really had happened.
That dude just got kneed in the family jewel.
If you saw that play, that was not a flop.
Right. He got hit right
I was really
right
hoping it
chomes.
Was because it would have been spectacular time.
Somebody get him a cold compress. Good Lord. But seriously, it's just if you in America, you're not going to get the casual fan until the U.S. gets to the semifinals.
I'm a casual fan. I've kind of enjoyed
well,
it.
Well, you are, but for the most part, they're not there. But if the U.S. could ever get to the semifinal of a major tournament, I'm talking about like World Cup or not the Copa, but the World Cup, and everyone's like, dude, you see what, like, and all this controversy, even if we lost in a crazy play, I think people would be on board then. But it just hasn't gotten there. I think the USA winning, the men winning and finally getting the job done to just get through the tournament a few games would get a lot of those people on board and they would get over the flopping. But it's up to them to do it. It's up to the USA, Team USA men's national team to do it, not the women.
I got a question. What does Berhalter do when they're not playing soccer and like they're with their respective clubs?
That's personal information.
That's a good question because I don't know if he's out looking at talent or what he's doing. I mean,
I know
they run, they're running camps, they're running.
Is he watching Game of Thrones?
Dude, that's a good point. Like, what is he doing? What are they doing? I've already, if you listen to last week's show, I went in.
Can you recruit
to
kids
what
from
Matt,
other countries?
I went into Matt Crocker and some of the people and said we need to clean house and we need to start hiring a coach. What's wrong with hiring a coach from another country? Like,
well,
most
nothing.
Of these no.
Well, we've had coaches.
Yeah, well, let's
country.
Try it again. Let's try it again. Like I said, Silvino's waiting. He's waiting. And he speaks English. But some guy that they've got that's going to change our style of play and do some other things except the same old crap. Maybe bring a couple players in. Everyone's going to go, who the hell are these guys? Well, that's who he wants. And then they start playing and winning. And you're like, he knew it all along, and we didn't know it. Like these idiots that are all the higher-ups. I mean, look at how the game is when kids are playing. It's all about politics anyways, dude. Even when your kid's playing in under 14, it's all politics. It's mostly the rich people whose kids get up there and get to and have more assets and more. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Maybe we need, like, that's what I love about Clint Dempsey. He wasn't a rich kid. He came from a low level area in Texas, and he had to work his ass off to get there. His mom had to drive him back and forth. These different tournaments and stuff
would view soccer in America as a white collar sport.
Right.
I really believe that. And I think that's changing. But when I was young, granted, that was 20 years ago.
Right.
But it was looked at more as a white collar sport.
What's your name? Yeah. Who's this kid? Who's his daddy? Who's his mom? We're not going to let little Junior doesn't get to start or whatever. What we need is some grit. We need some grit and some winners, and we don't have them right now.
I just think you're looking for generations of people to play the sport for it to really grow. And soccer's been growing so much lately. But
when's the last time you seen a USA player cry after a loss?
I don't know, man.
I haven't. It's been a long time.
Well, when they
what's the last Bama player
when they didn't make the
Jalen Milroe.
When they didn't make the World Cup. When they didn't make the World Cup, the whole team was sobbing uncontrollably.
They should have been.
Well, they were.
It's your question.
They were.
That was the last time.
And especially.
That's worse than not.
Pulisic, I remember.
Not making it through the group stage.
Well, of course it was. It was horrendous.
Yeah. So, anyways, we can talk about this forever, but the fact of the matter is the Bengals are better than the Chiefs. Let's move on.
Wow.
Now, wait a minute.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
I think that was a welcome back tuna statement.
Yeah. Welcome back, tuna.
You didn't finish the statement.
Maybe they need the tuna helper. Maybe these players need to eat the tuna helper.
The Bengals are better than the Chiefs.
This year.
Illegal activities.
This coming year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did listen to an interview with Joe Burrow the other day, and I might like him a little bit more now. He's opening up.
Oh, I know you did.
He's opening up more of a personality.
He's like, why can't you talk smack on the field?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, and by the way, Kansas City didn't help our men's national team a damn bit.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Kansas City.
Yeah. I blame that on Arrowhead. Taylor Swift. Everybody was on the Eras Tour, man. We ain't got time to watch, go to Europe to see Taylor Swift and watch, soccer in the United States. We got priorities.
Now, I was actually going to save this but for last call, but since we've kind of circled around back to this topic, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I do believe that now becoming a Chiefs fan or being a Chiefs fan has officially jumped the shark. Because did you see that Lifetime, the Lifetime Movie Network, the network that my mom watches starting July all through these, Christmas at whatever, blah, 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 blah. They're doing one now that's called Falling in Love with a Chief at Christmas or something
like that.
Sounds
romantic, guys. I'll watch that.
Oh, God.
I think it's going to be amazing.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And, of course, they're jumping on the fact that all these people are the Chiefs are the hot thing. They got Taylor Swift and,
Dawson's rolling in his grave.
Well, yeah. What do you think? What do you think Hank Stram would say about this?
What's going on out here?
They're killing me out here, Whitey. They're killing me.
It's probably about some guy that works at a bowling alley and looks like Andy Reid a little bit. And he kind of falls in love with a cocktail waitress at Christmas. It's going to be a great story, guys. Don't act like you're
If only Burl Ives was still alive, we could do the narrating.
I'm sorry you guys are heartless and don't like that stuff. But.
It's probably inevitably going to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Tune.
I agree.
We're all there. We already know that. I'm sure Taylor Swift is writing the score for the entire film.
I bet it gets higher ratings than any Cincinnati Reds game this year.
Oh, Lord.
Freddie, up high, I'm going low.
Sparky, can you look up, just see what the title of that movie is, because what I just said isn't nearly as ridiculous as what it actually is. Just maybe Google Kansas City Chiefs lifetime movie or something like that.
I gotcha.
I would love to know what it's actually called. But I
it's
heard
probably
that.
Called,
I know what it's called.
It's called We Three Rings.
It's called.
Oh!
It's called.
Holy shit! That is a that. You want to talk about a line?
Yeah.
That's a line.
I think it's called Getting Soft in Arrowhead.
I like We Three Rings.
Burrowhead.
But
man.
Anyway,
all right, yeah.
I wanted to I just kind of wanted to get that out there because I was going to save that for the end of the show, but
I got it.
It was okay.
So
I can't wait to hear this.
We have got to send this in what you just said because this is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
We Three Rings. I mean, that's the name of the movie. That's got to be the name.
They got a room
movie.
Full of people, and this is what they come up with: Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
Oh my God!
I mean,
oh my Lord!
That's terrible.
Get out the Alka-Seltzer.
I'm the only one in here man enough to admit that he's going to watch it.
It's filming entirely in Kansas City.
Well, that's good.
Tuna, they're probably looking for extras down there. You ought to go down.
I think you played the part of Andy Reid.
Yeah, see if you can make your way in there.
Yeah, I'll work the diner on the grill that they meet at.
God damn. Hey, Sparky, you're exactly right.
Because they always meet at a diner.
They come up with that name, and We Three Rings is sitting right there.
You know, they were in a conference room with 24 or 30 people sitting around, and it got to 11:30. You're like, you're all ready for lunch? And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's what they come up with? That's terrible.
Nah, they just had some intern send some shit in, and they're like, all right, let's go with it. Nobody's gonna watch this shit anyway.
No, they said, we already know there's 5 million people in this country that are built into watching every one of these movies. Mm-hmm. We could call it...
they have the same actors in it.
Well, I don't know that much about it, Tuna. I mean,
I do.
I
my grandmother is obsessed with the Hallmark Channel.
My mom likes them too, and
I don't think it's Lifetime. This is Hallmark, and they apparently every movie they make they use the same group of people. Okay. So if you can get that Hallmark deal, that's a pretty sweet deal. All
right. Well, I mean,
whatever you say, Bertoletti. We're good.
Which, by the way, congratulations to me for winning money on the. I actually handicapped the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. I knew that Joey Chestnut was not going to be a part of it, so I started reading about these guys' backgrounds, and then I see this guy from Chicago, and I'm like, when I think about hot dogs, I think about Chicago, correct?
I love a Chicago dog.
Yes.
Sure.
And then you see that he ate 55 hot dogs one time in 10 minutes. And I'm like, you know what? Joey Chestnut usually puts up a 70 number. And nobody's ever close to him.
That's right.
Pretty good. And then come to find out his girlfriend left him because.
Wait, whose girlfriend?
The guy that won the hot dog.
Okay.
Patrick Bertoletti.
His girlfriend left him because all he did was eat hot dogs, play video games, and drink beer.
Oh, I like him already.
And then, this guy's living the ultimate dream.
He was not
life.
Upset that she left him because at that point he could dedicate his life more to competitive eating.
Right.
So I said, you know what? This is my guy. I have no choice but to go with this guy.
I love it.
Tuna suggestion.
Yeah.
Quit your job. You have done more R&D than Lifetime did on this Chiefs movie. Quit your job and go work for Lifetime.
Yes.
If they'll take me.
Now, was she the one making his hot dogs? Or
see,
that
Hallmark should do a love story like this.
Yeah.
A couple meets at a Nathan's hot dog eating contest after man.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
I'm sure couples have met there.
Yeah. But he crushed it. He came out with fire, and then nobody wanted any.
What'd he win by?
He was a plus 900 going into that.
Really?
I put $10 on him and won $90. Total payout of $100.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what did he win by? Did he dominate the competition?
He had 58 hot dogs in 10 minutes, and I think second was like 54, 53, something like that.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't dominate, but like he started rolling there at the end. And the problem was, right, he got showed up. Like Joey Chestnut did a thing for the troops, and he crushed like 70-something or 50-something hot dogs in like 5 minutes.
And then,
so, yeah, it kind
of. So he didn't dip enough of them with the wet bun. He didn't have enough wet bun.
So disgusting.
Yeah.
And then from what I understand, Chestnut yesterday had sent out a tweet to, what are they, not BW3s now, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were running some sort of deal on their boneless wings, and it was supposed to end like yesterday or the day before. And he sent out a tweet and said, if I can eat 200 of them in like 15 minutes, you'll extend it for 2 weeks. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. And so he did that live on TV. I mean, the greatest decision he ever made was probably getting out of that. That Nathan's hot dog.
I think what it
thing.
Was, they pay him like $300,000 a year to show up to that each year. Nathan's does, I guess. And the deal he signed with Impossible Meat was, I think, $1.3 million for like 3 years. Yeah. So he's making more.
Okay.
And he still gets paid to do other stuff.
And then I would be curious, has he ever talked about, or has anybody talked about, has he ever done, I know it just happened, but has he ever seen how many impossible hot dogs he can eat in 10 minutes?
You can't, because you will die.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, is that even possible?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Oh, it's impossible.
And I don't think that Impossible Meat makes dogs anymore, because they all look like wieners in the packaging. It kind of folds out. I don't know. It's just weird looking. So nobody buys
it.
It
looks like liver.
They need to stick
looks like liver cheese.
And not like phallic-shaped meats. that's probably their best go-to. And I think they know now. It was the early game that they were playing that they probably shouldn't have been a part of.
Right, right. Well, kudos to him, to Patrick.
Yeah.
That was a great bet, man.
Bernatelli.
Bernatelli.
I'm just still blown away how much research you did on him. That's
I love it, too.
You guys happen to see the lemonade chugging contest?
Oh, no.
The guy that got sick?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, no. This is another thing. This is another thing somehow I've missed.
That's a lot of acid.
It was like Gallagher all over the crowd.
They
escorted.
It was
bad.
I saw the replay. They had to escort this guy.
The replay?
Yeah.
It was all over the
slow motion.
Like, it wasn't enough to see
it
happen live.
I didn't watch it live.
Replay.
That's what I'm saying. It was
you
all over
just
the
watch
TV.
It once, guys.
Right.
You couldn't miss it. I'm surprised y'all didn't see it.
It was all
but
over
they,
the
they had to
the
escort
camera.
Him from the stage in the middle of the competition, because it was awful. I mean, it was
nice.
Terrible.
Sparky, I have a I think I have a block on my phone that's like, any projectile vomiting over the general public, I don't want to see that.
Scott Van Pelt had it on ESPN.
Oh, my God.
Summertime Sports Center.
SVP.
Well, Travis, since we're talking about projectile hot dog eating and lemonade drinking, I think that leads us right into the Home Run Derby.
Before we go into that, and we're talking about obscure sports, I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but I kind of...
Travis loves the Ocho.
I fell in love with a sport here recently, and I've just been watching old ones over and over again, and it's called Power Slap. Are you guys familiar with this?
Yes.
Okay. Dana White started this.
Yes, he did.
I have seen it.
Okay.
I watched...
It's probably the most insane thing ever.
It is.
I watched the trailer
when
they first announced it.
Oh,
I watched
dude.
The trailer for it, and I said, well, this has to be a work. Like, this cannot be real. And so I hate to admit this, but I actually went in and like looked up these people to make sure they weren't like former independent pro wrestlers or something that
just dudes that love slapping
that knew how to work or anything like that.
No,
these people just stand at this table, much like the high top table you're at right now.
Exactly right.
And just slap the shit out of each other as hard as they can.
As hard as they can.
And I mean, some of these things. Oh, now, it's not something I will say. I don't begrudge anybody for finding it, because part of me does find it completely fascinating. But it's not something that I would typically
watch. Coin toss is the most insane thing. Like that's the most important coin toss ever.
Tell me about that, because I don't know anything
about
this.
That's how they decide like who slaps first.
And I cannot believe we're talking about this on the sports pod right now.
Welcome to Summer Sports Talk.
Can you believe the three of us have watched it?
Yeah.
That might be the other thing.
And all right, so there's rules. You can't flinch. If you flinch, you lose a point.
Yes. Yes. And that I know. I don't know any other rules but the flinch.
Can't come off the ground.
Your feet have to stay on the ground. I didn't
naturally.
Know that one.
And then you give a count and you'll say either two or three. And then you'll size it up and you go one, two, and then you'll slap on three. And then,
can you say something? Are you allowed to call them mother?
You got mouthpieces in.
You can't have your mouth open.
No,
you can't have your mouth open. Your cheek will have
you, but
dirty,
they actually. I know you guys aren't UFC guys, but there's a show called Ultimate Fighter where potential fighters that go in, they live in a house.
I kind of am.
And they like, you know, the winner of that will get a...
Well, Freddie loves
reality show.
Reality TV.
That's why
you tie that in.
But if you win, you can win a contract with UFC. You know what I mean? That's
baby.
What they do. So Power Slap did this, where they had all these slappers come in and live in the house.
I love
that
they're slappers is the plural.
And they would go and train every day.
Not fluffers,
on how to
slappers.
And they would like have these bags coming down that they would just slap these bags. And that was like their training. These guys aren't running. They're not doing cardio. They're just slapping bags.
Slapping bags.
I mean,
is this going to be an Olympic sport?
I
ever?
Hope it is.
Could
dude.
It be?
I hope it is. When we get to my around the room,
because I heard the Peruvians can really slap. Dude.
I was.
I know the Samoans are not to be messed with.
Oh, I bet,
dude. This one guy, he's like 450 pounds. He has no neck, and like the biggest bear paw in the world slapped him three straight times, and his head never moved. Which has to
If I remember right when I watched it, it has to be, it's kind of like you can't hit them in the ear, right? It has to be.
It's not in the ear. It's like kind
it's
of in your
right
chin.
On the
and
jaw.
If you go high, you get
right.
You
get penalized.
Like,
and I've seen people get slapped so hard they fall down. I mean, they literally
knock people out. Yeah, they get knocked out. Like, it's.
I knew I should have bet 3-0.
But, yeah, so slapping. That might be a better segue into the Home Run Derby as we slap balls out of Arlington, Texas.
Yes, I
knew you guys wanted to get away from slap power slapping while we were into it.
I like your segue a little bit better. That's
same goal.
That is.
I know. I'm kidding.
That is an unbelievable thing. And if you have, even if you are like me and don't think it's something that you would ever really want to watch, it is worth it looking up.
Be careful, because it's very addictive. I'll say that much.
Well, and that's probably why I haven't gotten totally into it.
And it's something that you don't really want to admit to a lot of people that you're watching. You know, and they're like, what are you doing? Oh, just, you know, laundry and shit.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm watching these two big fat ass guys just slap the holy hell out of each other.
I think we're close to being at a stage where you could go into random bars and there's going to be just like slap contests going in.
No.
Like Old Hick's going to have a slap contest.
I can't wait.
Oh, my God. Well, I can totally see that.
They have one once a week. It's just not announced.
It's not sanctioned.
and it's usually two women.
Well, they're going to have it outside so you can smoke heaters while they're doing it.
I was telling somebody at my cousin's birthday this last, we were talking about some things that have, you know, that are on television now and things like that. And one of my favorite movies from the 80s is The Running Man. And I wish I would have thought about power slap, because I was coming up with all these different things. I was like, we're almost to the running man. Like, we're almost to that point right now. A power slap is one of those perfect things. I could just see Richard Dawson as Killian going, these two big fat guys are just going to slap the shit out of each other, and it's going to be great. Yeah. And people are, you know, burning those trash cans and throwing money up. And going, ah!
I'm sold.
Now I'm afraid I'm going to have to actually watch one of these events.
You can start with the reality show.
Who's the best of the best, Tuna?
Yeah.
The
best power slapper in the world?
Who's going into the initial Power Slap Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I don't really know, but I need to know more of these guys' names. I just look at them as gladiators and don't really put names on.
Oh, they like the arm wrestlers from Over the Top that drink Castrol.
Tuna, well, I think the Christians versus the Lions were probably more something I would watch more than two fat guys slapping each other. But
hey, well, now, wait a minute. They're
some
not
of these
all
guys,
fat. They can be skinny like
they
Joey
have weight
Chestnut.
Divisions, so
hey,
they have like 120 pounds versus 120.
Wouldn't you think Joey Chestnut would be a good slapper? Because he's got that jaw, dude. He's got
6'5".
An iron jaw.
Yeah, you got to be able to deliver. You can't just
you
take.
You be able to take.
I don't. See Joey Chestnut having a lot of slap.
And you're not allowed to cup your hand, right? No cupping.
Let me ask you this, Tuna. Cupping. When you take the slap, do you have to keep your head stationary, or can you move your head
No, you can even fall down. Like, these guys get knocked down, and they've got
get
a timing
hit so hard they fall.
To, like, get back up, and a judge will look at them to make sure they're clear. And it's like a boxing judge. You'll be like, all right, you're clear. And then they have so much time to recover.
So
they can walk around
dude,
for like 30 seconds.
You can see their face swelling up.
Yeah.
But what I'm asking is, like, if I'm standing across this high top table from
you. Oh, you're talking about pre-slap.
And I time it just right to where you're hitting me in the cheek and I'm already going down.
That's a flinch.
Okay.
That's a flinch. Yeah. And I thought at first, because I wasn't clear on the rules, that you could, like, turn into the slap. Because I've seen a couple guys do it where it didn't get called, where they would almost turn into it as opposed to
try to stop the momentum.
Yeah, to maybe force his hand to turn a little bit with his chin. Yep. And then they let that go a few times, but then it started getting called. So you can't really move your head at all. Now, there's a slight bit that you can. Like, it's just – you just can't flinch big time. You know, like,
I'm thinking you got to have
– can wince and all that
stuff.
No,
you got to have a good cut man, right? For this, possibly a good.
I don't know.
You've
really
only got
cut.
Like you
got
really
a cold compress. You
might get that.
Yeah,
you gotta have a good guy in your corner.
They walk around for like 30 seconds. Most of it is like they're just kind of shaking their head.
Maybe it's their wives in their corner. You know, maybe it's not an actual cut man. Maybe it's a family member.
and to answer your question, the big Samoan guy that I seen the other day, the top power slapper
or a buddy,
he's the super heavyweight champion. Is Koa Vernez, and
he's from Albania.
Terrible podcasting, but there's a picture of him.
Oh, well, wait a minute. He's got a long beard. That's no fair.
He's not from
Albania. He's from Samoa.
You can't have a beard like that. That's cushion on
actually,
the cheek.
There was a – it's not Albanian, but he's Siberian, and he just flew
like
from Siberia to Las Vegas – to be a slap champion. He's 5 foot.
No, he rolled the dog sled in.
5 foot nine, 360 pounds. And his hands look like he's a farmer in Siberia.
Like Will Chamberlain.
And he looks like his fingers look like bratwursts. It's the only thing that I know how to say.
Unbelievable.
This is so connected to the hot dog eating contest. The more we talk about it.
I promise you this. I will promise you guys this. Once these soccer tournaments are over and we get into the dog days of summer before college football starts and pro football starts, I will watch one of these events to find out exactly what this
the next pay-per-view, we'll get it together and watch it together.
Yeah. And then you will be a
pay-per-view.
True slapper.
You have to pay for this?
I don't know.
I want to watch the short fat guy puke lemonade. That's funny as hell to me.
Yeah, that's really good. But they have events, like the big events where it's championship matches. And I think it's pay-per-view, like $20 or something.
Okay.
And it's well worth it.
I want to say something real quick. Travis started the show and said Tuna was on assignment last week. What he was doing was he was interviewing for Lifetime for the R&D department, and he was doing research on this slap catastrophe thing going on, whatever it is.
I'm ready for a T-shirt, dude.
I'm sure you can get them. Like, yeah.
So that was a little bit of a sideways turn we made there, but we do want to discuss the Home Run Derby. And as Tuna said, maybe the slapping of the faces is akin to the slapping of the ball out of the ballpark. I know it is. Of all kind of the stuff in all-star games that we're all kind of, you know, used to, whether it be the dunk contest or the three-point shooting contest or things like that, I do think that the Home Run Derby still holds a certain kind of, I don't know what the right word is, but it's something that we're all interested in.
It's never gotten old.
Most years. And yeah. So we have the Home Run Derby.
Speaking of which, they changed the rules this time.
I think they finally got them right. We'll
see.
It's
next Monday, correct?
It's this coming Monday.
I think when the Home Run Derby was at its best was when you had 10 outs. There was no clock. There was no, you know what I mean? It was you had 10 outs. When you made contact with a ball and it didn't go over the fence, that was an out.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
They changed that. If you look back, they changed that because the guys that were cranking them in the first round were never winning.
I got you.
Because they were worn out.
But now they're just like, it's just like, just hit as many as you can real quick, and I'm just swinging at everything that comes in, and like we're not even seeing the ball go out. We're seeing the hit by that one, the one before, still going out.
So, yeah, but I like the you what's can pick
the new
who throws to you too.
What's the new rules that you guys
yeah,
are talking
go through
about?
The new
because
rules.
I'm
somebody
not
somebody else go through them because
Freddie, you sent them the other day.
I've got them here. I just got to through it a little bit. I don't know. I mean, all right. So the knockout style doesn't begin until semifinals.
We don't have, we don't have to go, but who do you, you know, I mean, I guess the
I think in previous last 2 years, like it was your first two rounds.
A pitch limit is now in place.
Oh, okay.
So last year, like there was no formal maximum amount of pitches that a batter could see. And then now they do. How much is it here? 27 pitches, 2 minutes or 27 pitches, whichever comes first.
Okay.
So, hold on. The first round of semifinals will include whenever 3 minutes or 40 pitches, and then the finals will conclude whenever 2 minutes. So they're shortening it for the finals, I guess, so they're not tired like you were saying. But
well, back before, you got to realize there was guys hitting, I forget who it was, hit 29 or 31.
Mark McGwire hit like 20-something
in the first round.
Yeah.
Well, he hit for 9 minutes.
Well, the guys are hitting over 20 now. But it was 9 minutes, but I guarantee they almost took less swings. They're getting they were taking less swings then, too. Like, because you could take your time. Well, you could sit there and take pitches and not worry about it and so on. And now it's like they just feel rushed, and it's like a cycle thing. But either way, it's a Home Run Derby. I don't care. I just want to see them hit it out.
Like, I think if there's a tie for like fourth and fifth to go to the second round, they should have a slap off.
I'd
put it right on the mound.
Look, this is Rob Manfred's last year, I believe, as commissioner. Didn't he announce that? Or is
I think
it next
so.
Year's his last year? I think it's next year. So, I mean, if I get that job, which I'm going to apply, I will definitely institute that into the Home Run Derby. And I will promise to not call the Home Run Trophy a hunk of metal.
So you had three interviews last week.
Yes. But anyway.
I don't even know. Does anybody have a list of the guys that is that are in the home run
yeah,
derby.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up right now. I got the home run or the all-star guys pulled up. Not everybody's fully committed yet. We've only got like five or six guys right now, right? I think Marcelo Zuna.
Okay.
Pete Alonso's definitely doing it because he likes the home run derby more than he likes just baseball or food or anything else in life. that's his favorite thing. But he's doing it. Marcelo Zuna. Who else we got? Alec Bohn from the Phillies is in it. Let me see what I can find here.
I'm surprised after your ventures last week, you didn't try to sneak in there, Tuna.
Yeah. Right now, Gunnar Henderson from Baltimore, Pete Alonso.
That's who I think is going to win.
Alec Bohm and Marcelo Zuna, who I would say out of this group of guys, Alonso and Ozuna are probably the two favorites.
Ozuna, Bohm, and Alonso were all in it last year, I think. They're returning.
Bohm wasn't. I think this is his first year in it.
Is it?
I believe so.
Last year, maybe the first All-Star appearance. Alonso's been in the last, well, he won it 1 year, like last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, Alonso won it back-to-back 1 year, like, and then he lost it last year. But I think they're going to have more. Like, Teoscar Hernandez is probably going to be in it. I don't really know who else is going to commit to it. But
I think the thing I like about the home run derby, obviously the event itself, but seeing all the players, it's all the all-stars right there on the field. They got their kids out there and their family. They're like, they get to enjoy the ballpark instead of playing baseball. Like,
it is.
They're a fan again. So
I like watching the kids try to catch all the balls in the outfield, too. How cool would it be to be like a, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-old kid running around that outfield?
I always liked that part of it,
too. They're starting to replay. There was a kid last year.
Yeah, he got hit right in the face.
Line drive right in the face. And they're starting to replay that again.
Sign him up for the World Slap Championships. He's got a head up on everybody else.
That kid will never take his eye off the ball again. I'll tell you, that's a fact.
Yeah. The other one's gone.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's always fun, the Summer Classic. And the Home Run Derby is a great night. And it's probably one of my favorite things to just throw a couple bucks on a guy and bet him and try to watch him.
Right, yeah. And it's always fun. I mean, even when they change the rules around or whatever they do, like I said, I think it's one of the last vestiges of kind of all-star game, like not the main part of the game that people still are interested in and people still want to get out and watch. I know we've been watching it together for years, so... I always look forward to it.
We usually watch it at the pub, and Travis, if you remember, we do a draw every year.
Yes.
And
I was up there with you all last year.
Last year, I walk in, and two people have hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent a text to Freddie, and I said, hey, man, I'm on my way. I said, go ahead and draw for me. Only two of the eight have hit. Nothing's final yet. And Freddie goes, I got you. He's like, here you go. He goes, by the way, you're out.
Classic, Fred.
Classic.
I want to remind everybody that we are on social media.
That ball's in.
On Twitter, at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, type in Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook search bar. We are getting to that time in the episode tonight. Fred, do you have something to say?
No, but we No.
Well, you were looking at me waving and shrugging your shoulders. I thought you must have, go through your notes here and find out what you wanted to.
I was
going to
mention some college football stuff, but we don't have time for that.
We can get into
I ate up your college football time when talking about slack.
We're getting into some college football.
I screwed
football.
Up on
yeah,
that one.
We have plenty of time to talk about college football.
Okay,
we don't really have plenty of time. We're getting to the point. Now,
and the Olympics, too.
I will
Six
tell
weeks
you,
away?
I will tell you.
Olympics are going to drive us right on through.
I will tell you that... since it is the end of the show and we are in the bar, and Fred, you are more than welcome to take as much time as you want to talk about anything you want. It's last call, And Tuna, we're going to you first for last call.
All right, two things here. One, I want to congratulate Louisville local Will Smith for becoming only the second catcher next to Johnny Bench in baseball to hit four home runs in four straight plate appearances.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
So, we all love Chill Will.
Not bad for the kid from Kentucky Country Day. And then second,
wait, he's from KCD?
He did go to KCD.
Oh, then I can't stand
him. That's what I thought, but Jody informed me that his mom worked there and he's from a normal family, not like a crazy family.
He didn't play basketball against collegiate, did he?
Oh, that I don't know.
He did.
Oh, okay, so.
He's an athlete. He's
How long really ago? Did I coach against him?
My son played against him, but he
eight years ago.
I think he graduated high school in 2015.
Yeah, I think 8 years ago.
He's a good winner at U of L. One thing I will say about him, Travis, and
I don't think I ever coached against him, so I'm in favor of it.
You'll like this. After they won the World Series, he was in the parking lot signing autographs at KCD, and he had his guy with him. We were up there. The kids wanted autographs. And his guy goes, "It's time. We got to go. Your time's up." And he goes, "This is where I'm from, and I will not leave this parking lot until everybody else is gone."
Awesome.
And he sat there for 4.5 hours and signed autographs.
And you know what's crazy? Super cool. If you think about all the guys that played baseball at Louisville that, like, were big names and high draft picks, he is probably the most successful out of all of them, and I never would have even thought that.
He's the only Gold Glove winner U of L has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know
wild.
He's got the biggest contract. But anyway, second,
Gold
this
Messi.
Is a conversation that I know I have with a lot of my close friends, and I feel like most guys probably have this with their groups of friends, where you sit around and you're watching a sport, and you're like, you know what? What if all of these guys were on performance-enhancing drugs? You know what I'm saying? Like the steroid era in baseball and so on, and you know, we watched the Olympics, and I know we got to see it with cycling because all of those guys were on performance-enhancing drugs.
Of course.
But I think that's a little different than most things. Like, we want to see other stuff. Well, there are two guys from Germany who are putting on a event called the Enhanced Games.
Oh, man.
Leave it to Tuna. He knows.
Where has the podcast gone?
He knows all the things that we're all going to be interested in and our listeners. I cannot wait to hear about this,
yes,
Tuna.
So basically they were upset because Olympic athletes don't get the ability to maximize the potential of their bodies with performance-enhancing substances. And they believe that they should get paid by the U.S. or the World Olympic Committee more money than they do, and that they would like to see people compete at the max that their body can do with substances.
Right.
So they have committed to several sports. All your track and fields are going to be out there. They're going to have some combat sports like boxing, I think wrestling. Stuff like that. And then I don't know what else. I think it's probably going to be pretty small when it adds on. I think they're looking for a television deal as of now.
Wow.
Don't know if they'll get it, but this may have lawsuits written all over it.
Let me tell you, whoever does the television for the World Slap Championships,
yes,
get on that.
So because Dana White will probably get a hold of these guys.
I will watch that.
Yes.
I will watch that. I want to see a home run derby,
yes,
with a bunch of roided up freaks.
And you know what? I think the timing would be perfect for it to come out like after the Olympics, after a few months, because then you could have all these world records that were broken and like see how.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Travis, I think you have seen a home run derby like that.
Well, I certainly have.
Yes.
I certainly have.
No one really knows.
That is true. That is true. No, that's awesome, Tuna. Anything else?
No, that's it. I'll have more info on the Enhanced Games as things transpire.
Awesome. Fred?
Well, I was watching the Colombia-Panama game, and I got on social media towards the end of it, and I saw some people during the game that were like, the game was 5-0 when Colombia scored their fifth goal. And they're like, total bullshit. The USA would have done a lot better. Well, guess what, meatheads? The USA lost to Colombia right before this stupid tournament started 5-0. So guess what? They wouldn't have done squat. They would have already lost by more. Let's move on. Next.
Final thoughts.
Next. Just want to let you say something about little old Clemson.
Oh, God.
Since we had our
What's
your ass, Dabo?
Why wouldn't we?
Do you know, Tuna, that this offseason there are four teams, and not last offseason, this offseason, there are four teams that did not pick up a transfer.
Well, I know Clemson's one of them.
The Air Force, the Army, and the Navy, because they have to have security from our precious president or someone.
Well, they can't transfer.
What?
They can't transfer.
Yeah, no, they have to have clearance from some governing body in order to be able to transfer.
Into the academy?
Yeah. Yes.
You can't transfer from Army to Navy.
But you can.
Well, that'd be cool.
You have to have clearance.
You can't transfer from Clemson to Army, though. You've got to be accepted.
Right, I get it. Yeah. However, I find it amazing that for the second year in a row that Clemson, little old Clemson, has still not gotten a transfer.
Okay, I'm going to say this. This is going to last maybe one or two more seasons. Like, the fans will listen to whatever Dabo says right now. They have another year like they did last year. Put two of those together. Then they follow that up with another questionable season.
Are you saying Dabo's on the hot seat?
I'm saying
Lizard,
his seat has some warmth to it. I'm not saying it's hot.
Travis. Yeah.
But it's definitely one. There's a lizard in here?
Yeah, I actually was trying to point that out a few minutes ago.
Oh.
And I didn't think anybody
saw it. Well, he's just listening to the show.
Yeah.
Yep. Just a little guy.
We got Thin Lizzy over here hanging out.
But no, you're right, Tuna. I think the Dabo could be on the hot seat. He is not going to do that.
You can't do that. In today's world, you can't do
it. I find it fascinating for the second year he has not gotten one transfer.
Yeah. And we'll see how that goes. Because you know what? Guys are transferring out of there. That's the thing.
Right.
It's like you can't have guys
leave.
Not
40 guys like Alabama, but some.
Yeah, no, he's losing some.
Right.
So when you have guys leaving, you have to replace them, and you can't do that with freshmen all the time.
Okay, well, I'd say he's on the hot seat right behind Mario Cristobal.
I hope when Jeff Brohm beats him this year, he punches him right in the face and said, you better start taking transfers. Because our whole team is transfers.
Right.
But
okay.
We have a break.
We're
in
on
action.
lizard duty have, right now.
We have
this
a lizard
is our new
loose.
Mascot. Tuna, you need a pet lizard?
Not anymore. It's like we got one. We ought to catch two of them and see if they can have a slap off.
Hey, Freddie, does Clemson have a pizza sponsor down there?
Not yet.
I don't know if Papa John's was
how
there.
How
Little
they not?
Caesars.
Well, I mean,
Caesars at the NFL.
I would think that they'd be
they're in Detroit.
They'd be Jets.
It's like, I think they're all over the Lions and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Jets?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah.
Or I think Dabo has just, you know, the tombstone.
It's probably like God's pizza
or something
tombstone. Like that.
I think it's tombstone.
It could
tombstone.
Be a tombstone.
Tombstone
yeah.
pizza.
Speaking of Jets, people don't know. We have a friend of the show here with us tonight, Chad McCubbin. Who do you, for Tuna and Fred, who do you think's the worst team in the NFL currently?
Well, I'm going to say he thinks it's the Jets because you said, speaking of the Jets.
Oh, I was just asking. Maybe
I don't think it's the Jets.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I think they're going to be decent.
Yeah. I would, I mean.
Oh, they have the longest non-playoff skid. Yeah,
I think Carolina is probably the biggest shit show in the NFL.
Yeah, they're. I can tell you, Carolina is not using
who's
their
quarterback.
Quarterback.
Who's their quarterback?
Bryce.
Where did he play for?
Young. Oh, okay. Well, hey, they're using him wrong. Trust me. They are using him absolutely wrong.
Yeah, they're just letting him get hit all over.
No, no, they're not. They're not letting him run enough.
Oof. I don't know, dude.
Oh, dude,
come on. You can't do that.
That kid made all Americans stand in quicksand. They're not letting him play his game. Once he jukes a couple people and runs, they've got to let him. That opens the field up for him. I'm not saying he has to do it like Lamar.
That poor kid looked sad in his eyes last year every time he got hit.
He was being held back.
Now, I was...
He's getting hit off the line of scrimmage.
I was capturing and releasing a lizard.
Yes.
Catch and release.
So I missed how we got to this point.
Where'd you let Petrino go?
He's in the backyard. He's in the backyard.
Petrino's down here running around the backyard.
Fred,
he's a Razorback.
When I first let him go, he was flopping around on his back the way that I picture Petrino after he rolled his Harley. But the difference was I picked up the lizard and put him right side up, and he rolled. He ran right off.
Yeah.
Not bad for a guy that never even owned a motorcycle.
Yeah, he ain't going to find a neck brace either.
So who are we at on last call here?
Mr. Electrical.
Okay.
I really don't know what to say tonight. All I'm going to do is for the listeners, I want to apologize to you guys for my friends and comrades down here tonight. We talked about hot dogs and slapping people. Although comical, I want to apologize. And there will be an intervention on the back deck after the show is complete.
I happen to think that the highlight of tonight's show was the talk about the, what is it called? The world
power slap.
I think that was the highlight of the show. I really enjoyed it. Chad, do you have anything to offer here? You have anything to say? We would love to have you on. We do have a friend of the show down here who's just been listening tonight. You have anything maybe to offer? How you felt about the show tonight? Maybe the highlight for you this evening?
Tuna pretty much pulled it out with the hot dog eating contest. That was great info. I did not know anything about the Chicago guy winning it all. It's pretty solid info, knowing, you know.
I feel like if you're going to put money on a guy, you have to become one with that guy. You have to know about him and where he's from and all his hobbies.
And like you said,
relationship statuses.
It's hard to bet against a guy from Chicago in a hot dog eating contest. There's no doubt about that. Guys, great show tonight. Super fun. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you guys for being here. For Mr. Electricity, the Poet Laureate, Whiteboard Jody, for the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, for Chad, who we appreciate coming down here again and listening, and for the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.